Radio WS, get occupied.
The next stop is Wall Street.
Whenever there's a beat, there's always a drum. Uh-huh. With Occupy in town, woo! There's always some fun.
We dance and sing and do things until the police come.
With pepper spray and guns, you know it's the real thing.
Come on!
Hey, Coca-Cola.
It's sugar, water, stuff. Come on, Coca-Cola.
Come on!
Democracy's gone.
It's just a little thing. Insurrection!
Some side effects may include rotten teeth, rotten gums, rotten life, rotten death, oppression, poverty, community debt,
loss of vision, loss of sight, loss of life, loss of groundwater, toxic sludge. Some revolution may be required, especially in developing countries. See a doctor before committing suicide. Brought to you by the IMF World Bank.
Come on!
Workers' rights.
Come on!
Some people think the problem with America is that workers have too many rights. If you've seen many of the states in this country have restricted workers' rights, in Wisconsin and Indiana, they've made it harder for people to collectively bargain or earn a decent wage. They think that if we were getting paid less, it's good for their corporate profits. The problem is I don't have any disposable income to buy your garbage. And it's funny that the same people who are making it harder for me to earn a decent paycheck are making my bills more expensive so that when I'm in poverty, they can look at me like, hey, work harder. There's a reason they sound like slave drivers. It's because they're driving us like slaves. And when you look at state after state where anti-worker laws are instituted, those states have the lowest average wages, the most people on minimum wage, the most people living in poverty, the worst education, the worst healthcare. I wouldn't want to live in one of those states. You know, someone told me the other day what would happen if Americans didn't have workers' unions. I told them we wouldn't have weekends. We wouldn't have child labor laws. It doesn't make sense to replace a 30-year-old worker with a 14-year-old worker. And it's disgusting to cut that kid's school's funding at the same time you make it easier for him to get into a workforce and earn a minimum wage. The larger issue is about rights. And it's about restricting rights, whether it's women's rights, workers' rights, consumers' rights. If you're a person, you're not that important because the corporations are people and they're too big to fail. I would love to see the people who are fighting unions, I'd love to see them give back all the money that they earned in overtime. I'd love them to go into work on Saturday and just not take pay. They would love that. I'm sure they're lining up for it. But they're not. Abraham Lincoln once said that labor is the superior of capital. Last I checked, Abraham Lincoln should have some sway with people who are anti-union. But if that's not the point, let's remember that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. died fighting for labor rights. And if it's something that a man like him can die for, it's something that men and women like us should live for. Thank you very much. That's my rant. Have a good one.
I'm a union woman, just as brave as I can be. I do not like the bosses. And the bosses don't like me. Join the CIO. Come and join the CIO. I was raised in Kentucky, in Kentucky born and bred. And when I joined the union, they called me a Russian Red. Join the CIO. Come and join the CIO.
While the most extreme leftism calls for pay for everyone, capital caresses ever less modestly the dream of giving it what it wants, of purging itself of the pollution of production and allowing men the freedom to simply produce themselves as capital's empty forms, its containers, each one confronted with the same enigma, why am I here?
Hi, I'm Mike.
And I'm Kate.
And we're from Wallsmart.
Where workers can find the lowest wages.
Always. Tired of those pesky unions collecting dues?
Ashamed of having representation when about to be laid off?
Sick of being told you deserve sick days and vacation time?
Well, come work at Wallsmart.
We'll guarantee you'll never have a pension, healthcare, and means to fight for the higher pay you don't deserve.
Now, Mike, why would you possibly want those things? At Wallsmart, you're the boss. You decide when to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You decide how much your boss doesn't pay you. The benefits are phenomenal, and the company, it takes care of you.
You're so right, Kate. That sounds wonderful. Wallsmart ensures that all its employees learn the meaning of personal responsibility. Are you going to let those bureaucratic union thugs get in between you and your corporate overlords? No! No union means no fat cat labor boss calling the shots anymore. If we're gonna fire you, gosh darn, don't you think we have a damn good reason for it? Huh? Don't you?
Well, come on down before we start outsourcing.
Wallsmart. Always low wages, always.
Brought to you by Wallsmart, Coca-Cola, the Parenting Foundation, Fox News Network, Bank of Americana, Crossroads, GTS, and Exxon Mobilia.
Once we get people in the street, we will have change. We will have change.
People banded together, and they created unions.
Supervisors can make a difference in their workers' lives. And rather than give a raise or support their workers, they say, well, it's okay for my worker to make $7.50 and have to struggle and not know if their family can eat.
I worked as a construction supervisor, and he made other people work in asbestos conditions and told me not to tell them. But then I did anyway. I got fired.
If you, you know, look at the history of the labor movement, it can be and has been a strong progressive force. There are conservative elements of the labor movement and then more progressive. And it's sometimes difficult to sort that through, in part because we don't know a lot about, in general, about labor history. I mean, I know this stuff because I've lived it, but, you know, it's surprising when you get out of union families or get out of those that have looked at social movements and whatnot, how in some ways little is understood about the labor movement. Those connections begin on the ground.
Do you think there are any specific demands do you think Occupy Wall Street and labor can agree upon as like bedrock principles?
Well, I think the focus is, you know, and I think this is where Occupy has helped focus the labor movement and hopefully will continue to do so, is on the decline of the middle class. And that is a big challenge. Occupy brings fresh voices to that, particularly a younger generation is experiencing it quite different from a laid-off blue-collar worker that can't get their job back. That's the kind of typical labor experience or union experience for the younger generation is, hey, I went through school and I got $80,000, $150,000 in debt, and all I can get is a crappy job as a barista.
You have people going $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 in debt to get out and make $28,000 or less per year.
You know, and that's an enormous opportunity to reach across generations. And the common agenda is that it's fairly straightforward. The American dream is in big trouble. I think obviously the recent statistics have shown that, you know, income has not kept up with inflation or even, you know, basic rise in living standards. So I think increasingly, in fact, we are a middle class country that's middle class is severely challenged. I think working people have been slipping and sliding downward for a long time. And so that's also compounding the situation. It's very interesting, of course, in the American discourse that you don't talk much about the working class. And as soon as you do, you get accused of class warfare. Who can identify with 99%? Now, in that 99%, there's a tremendous variation. I mean, you know, in my situation, we are clearly a middle-class family and have done okay. But, you know, because of the impact of the recession reaching so far into that middle class, there's a lot of disaffected, there's a lot of folks that have been unemployed for over a year that kind of relate more now to the problems that the working class has been having for some time. Most of the Occupy folks, is my understanding, are not in unions necessarily. A lot are, which is great. But Occupy represents them in a way different than unions would, and they're not, you know, some are employed, some are unemployed. I mean, unemployed people aren't represented by unions. A lot of the industries where we find younger people trying to find employment with this big debt, you know, that they're carrying are not heavily unionized. That's why the work of these organizations, worker centers, some, or I would say the Restaurant Opportunity Center is bigger than that, are so important. Because they're putting basically labor rights and advocating for better working conditions, better wages, challenging exploitative employers in segments of the economy that are rapidly growing but are very weak in terms of union density.
Tell me not to enjoy socializing with customers. I got along really well with all the customers. They loved me. The locals would stay in the coffee shop for a long time. And my boss didn't like that. I was actually having a good time while I was working.
When I was working at an airport, we would work overtime. Sometimes we wouldn't really get paid for the overtime.
I went to my boss and asked them for some advice. And they said, you know, if I were you and I needed advice, I would look for a new job.
Wanna rumble with the bees, huh? Strike on your whole company, yeah. To the workers. For those putting up bricks, laying out concrete, flipping burgers. You know, where the worker bees at? I am a born sufferer, struggler, born tough enough, had enough of the beating down feeling I get from coming up, a subtle smile, cold stand, callous hands, and a worldwide soldier who ain't just in Afghanistan, the son of a worker man, a scholar with no degrees, a father who knew his job, regardless of all the odds, I'm a Foxconn worker, rather die than be a slave, every broken back and forgotten name, lost while your road to progress was being paved, I'm a poet, I'm a writer, I'm a lover, I'm a fighter, I'm the last straw, sparked in the triangle fire. They're still trying every time to quantify my worth hourly. Taking advantage of my circumstance only empowers me. Hiding behind bureaucracy, my definition of cowardly. They always say that's how the world works. Chilling, overseeing, sitting pretty while the world works. Indifferent to all the world's hurt. So while billionaires split a million hairs, 10,000 black men named George in the land that they forged, forced on all fours, paying loans they can't afford. White or brown, yeah, we all in the same accord.
Next show is going to be about May Day.
I don't celebrate May Day at all, ever.
Yeah.
What is May Day?
May Day? I don't know what May Day is.
I don't even know what May Day is.
I don't even know what that is.
What's May Day? I don't understand.
Oh hell's yeah! I'm a staff member of a labor union, so that's our Christmas.
Day was first and foremost a celebration of spring that in the 1800s became a rallying cry for workers.
Well, May Day started out in the United States, and its history goes back to the 1880s, which was a real high point for labor and radical activism. In response to the growth of industrial capitalist system, which lots of people thought was not serving them well. And the May Day celebration grew out of the drive by the labor movement to reduce working hours, to get the 8-hour day. In 1884, a new organization called the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions, this was going to become the AFL, a couple years later, proposed the idea that on May 1st, 1886, workers all over the country should go on strike.
So here's where we get to the Haymarket Massacre, which ended up fueling both sides in the struggle.
The center of the strike was in Chicago, which was the leading industrial city at the time. And there was a big picket line at McCormick Harvester.
McCormick Harvester would become International Harvester, and despite its rapid growth, Cyrus McCormick slashed wages by 15%.
The scuffle broke out in front of the McCormick factory where the workers were on strike, the big factory. And the police intervened and they shot several labor activists who died.
The next day, there was a rally in response to the shootings.
1886, there was a protest rally called for Haymarket Square in Chicago. And at the end of the rally, as police sort of marched in to make sure the rally ended when it was supposed to end, someone threw a bomb. And that bomb killed several of the protesters, and it killed seven policemen. It's never been established who actually threw the bomb, but authorities in Chicago declared that because anarchists had said that they were not opposed to violence and sometimes had used violence in their protests, that the anarchist leaders, who were some not even at that rally, were guilty. And so those anarchist leaders were put up on trial for conspiracy to murder and to riot, and four of them were found guilty and were executed, were hung by the authorities in Chicago. And they became martyrs.
Most of them probably had nothing to do with it. So this is a huge event. So May Day comes out of that moment. It spreads to Europe, 1889. In the U.S., the story gets more complicated. May Day does continue to be celebrated. But there was another workers' holiday, which had actually preceded May Day, which is Labor Day. So for a while, you had two different workers' holidays. Some people celebrate one or the other. But slowly over time, May Day, at least in the United States, became increasingly associated with radicalism at a moment when a lot of the labor movement was becoming kind of more conservative. So Labor Day begins to kind of eclipse May Day. May Day is still celebrated, for example, when the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, is founded in 1905 as a kind of radical alternative to the AFL. It celebrates May Day, not Labor Day.
So if you don't have struggle, you don't have growth.
I'm a born sufferer, struggler, born tough enough, had enough of the beating, now feeling I get from coming up, a subtle smile, cold stand, callous hands, and a worldwide soldier who ain't just in Afghanistan, the son of a worker man, a scholar with no degrees, a father who knew his job, regardless of all the odds, I'm a Foxconn worker, rather die than be a slave, every broken back and forgotten name, lost while your road to progress.
Factory workers, truck drivers, hotel clerks, May Day is their day to come together to celebrate workers around the world.
Workers are the 99%.
All I know about May Day is that it should be a nationwide strike.
Better than Mayo!
What if nobody went to work on May 1st?
The American dream is in big trouble and is not producing.
We have a country where the wealth's going right to the top.
May Day!
May Day Man, brought to you by Coca-Cola. It's the fake thing, the real fake thing.
I hear Jason got fired.
What? That fool worked double shifts and truck nights on the weekend. ¿Qué hizo el hombre? What'd he do?
Ask for more money? He says, how they expect someone to live off $7.25 an hour? Peter says, you can be replaced.
Damn, he worked there 7 years, 7 años, and he never took off no days.
You think you're entitled to a break? I ain't paying you no overtime here. Back to work!
Come on, Peter. We're in the second half of our double. I need 10 minutes to go to the bathroom and tomar mi café. It's even May Day today.
You know what? You're fired. Here comes May Day Man.
It's May Day Man.
Step back, little
boss man. Folks, the way I see it, you're getting a raw deal, and you've been letting yourself get pushed around ever since Reagan. Dangerous working conditions, crappy pay, not even getting proper overtime pay. What are you, a bunch of crybabies? Get your mugs back out on the streets, see? Like the old days before you get used to the easy life. Because it's May Day, you hear me? May Day. It's May Day. May Day. May Day. Yeah, it's May Day.
May Day. May Day.
Tune in next time for Mayday Man, brought to you by Coca-Cola. It's the fake thing, the real fake thing.
Mayday, Mayday, it's Mayday.
It's these onerous union contracts that have made the car companies, American car companies, uncompetitive.
The bullshit.
The bullshit for today. Unions are responsible for our crappy economy. Time to occupy some of that bullshit. Ah, Mayday's in the air. In the 80-plus countries that recognize it, that is, but not in the U.S. We get Labor Day, which pays tribute to the abuse of our workers with holiday bargains down at the mall. 10 years ago, I predicted the American auto industry would soon be bankrupt. Am I an economics wizard? I don't think so. But they seem to be spending far more on lobbyists than on research and development. Fighting demands to make their cars get more miles for the gallon was more compelling than being competitive. As though it was still the 50s when every human on Earth drove American cars and gasoline spurted through the air straight into the tank. The Japanese, typically, were thinking 10 years ahead. They knew fuel prices would go up and that climate change thing. While American auto lobbyists paid off lawmakers, the Japanese went future, future, future. And the Germans stayed the course with quality, quality, quality. Americans went quarterly forecast, quarterly forecast, quarterly forecast. It doesn't sing as well, does it? And at $4 a gallon, nobody danced. So, of course, Republicans blamed the collapse of the auto industry on the Auto Workers Union, the UAW. Well, that's what Republicans get paid for, isn't it? While Rick Wagoner was CEO of General Motors, GM lost $82 billion. He blew off their electric car program in favor of the more profitable SUVs and light trucks, while Toyota had the Prius out there. Before running Chrysler, Robert Nardelli ran Home Depot. Did he have any experience in the retail biz? Nah. But that didn't stop him from replacing experienced employees with part-time newbies, which lowered expenditures, but it also lowered the quality of customer service. He replaced the decentralized management with a highly centralized dictatorship, and in the process, pissed off everybody around him until he was finally booted off the jet with a parachute worth over $200 million. Wagoner and Nardelli typify what's wrong with American business. Back in the day, the goal was to make great products. Managers rose through the ranks. They knew how their company's products were made and who used them and why. Things have changed. A company can make cars, jockey shorts, or dog food. Makes no difference to today's business titans. Their singular goal is to maximize quarterly earnings by cutting corners on quality and safety and eliminating the cost and inconvenience of having humans on board. Steve Jobs wasn't great for being ahead of his time. It was for being behind his time. Make great stuff. Fact is, since the 80s, the UAW's been making more concessions than demands, right up to 2009, when the government demanded even more union giveaways as a condition to bail out GM and Chrysler. Wagoner, Nardelli, and Ford CEO Alan Mulally displayed their sense of responsibility for their mess by flying down to the congressional hearings in private jets, each in their own jet. Republicans still campaign on blaming the union. And add to that their theory about why states across the country are going broke. It's the teachers' union reeling in those stratospheric salaries for teachers. With our workforce now dropping out of the middle class, losing their homes, their families breaking up, I think it's about time we had some nasty May Day around here. Now, I'm not suggesting that Congress anoint May Day as a natural holiday, because it would instantly become another three-day shopping weekend. What it should be is a day for workers to join the rest of the world and get out in the streets with nobody's damn permission, so that every May 1st, people will talk about Chicago's Haymarket Massacre, which May Day was established to commemorate. Look it up. And it'll be a day to take note that our entrepreneurial vitality is melting away. Not because of unions. It's because American corporations routinely sacrifice human capital in favor of short-term profits and the enrichment of a handful of crony-enabled ineptocrats. Bullshit flies on the wings of ignorance. Knowledge eats bullshit for lunch. Bon appetit.
This is Wall Street.
Something's wrong! Something's wrong in America!
Pilar Levine, production manager Austin Hill, music by Goldie Shack Gorillas and Polarity One. The song Join the CIO by the New Lost City Ramblers, written by Aunt Molly Jackson in 1936. Joka Cola, Goldie Evangelina and Sud Day. Rant On, Jesse LaGreca. Wallsmart by Austin with Evangelina and Diego Ibanez. The Mayday Report, Austin's interview with Bruce Herman. The Mayday History, Goldie.
Special thanks to Joshua Freeman, author of the upcoming book American Empire, and Michael Kazin, co-editor of Descent Magazine and author of American Dreamers, How the Left Changed the Nation.
Mayday Musical Cliffs Notes, Polarity One. Mayday Man by Pilar and Austin with Evangelina and Diego. Theme song, Polarity One and Goldie. Occupy That Bullshit, Pilar Levine.